I need a motion for approval of the minutes from September. Please make sure John knows who you are for the minutes for October. Air a second?
Second.
And you are?
Christopher.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Only one message from the chair. Last meeting during the budget presentation, one of the senators had asked how Western Kentucky compares with other institutions throughout the country. We didn't do that well, but posted on the Senate website under updates is an Excel spreadsheet that shows WKU's budgeting compared with other institutions in the state. So if you're interested in seeing that, it's available on the Senate homepage under the updates button. That comes from Kim Reed, and I'm guessing Ann Mead, so thanks for that. They followed up with an important question. Molly, do we have a Costco report? Oh, I guess not. Jennifer, I'm sorry, anything from you other than our election later? No? Very good. Advisory folks really need to keep your reports tight. And I'll bring out the hook if they're not tight enough, because we've got a lot of action items and I don't want to bleed a quorum. So with that, we'll turn over to Faculty Regent Patty Minner. I'm going to be honest, I was in shock. No, this acts as one of the best reports ever. Dr. Emsley.
There you go.
I have a lengthy email I sent to faculty all that. Moved his forum up early to accommodate the Senate. Thank you to all who went for that.
Thank you, Patty, and I apologize. Okay, thanks. Corey, I might be gone by then. Corey?
I only have a couple things to report on. A couple of weeks ago, the Student Senate met at South Campus to address a number of issues, and that includes the closing of the food court. This Tuesday, we hope to pass a resolution addressing that issue, and I'll keep this body apprised of that. If you have any students that have applied for any study abroad scholarships or scholar development grants from SGA, those are being evaluated, and hopefully your students will know here in a couple weeks. And finally, we are creating a new program called Society of Distinguished Seniors. And to skip over all the details, this will hopefully just seek to recognize graduating seniors who have made outstanding contributions to the intellectual community here. Your department heads will be gaining information on that, hopefully this week or next. Thank you.
Thank you, Corey. Graduate Council. Thank you. This is graduate faculty only. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. John, UCC report.
First, UCC still needs some members from School of Business and I think college. We also have to do an at-large election at some point. We have let's submit our report for a week.
Actually, there is one change that we need to make. I believe that you earlier.
Second, you led.
Yes, that we need to, that should be tabled definitely in UCC and should be on the minutes.
Okay, I just looked at it. I didn't think it's the same one, but we can certainly pull that and deal with it later. I don't think pulling that out. Pulling that
one. Which item?
The second.
Delete a course?
No. It actually is not on the agenda. It got attached. So there's that one.
Right.
And it's that one right there.
Okay. So this is the proposal to the increased GPA admission?
No.
So it must be the other one.
Admission to pre-professional. Admission to professional education?
Admission to student teaching.
I didn't see that one,
Jan. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry?
Admission to professional ed. What was the title on the agenda? It was titled.
Thank you. Yeah, I was thinking that might be the case. Sometimes we all have different names for these things. Admission to professional education, that's item 5 under revise a program, correct? And that is being pulled, John?
Yes.
Okay. We need a vote on approval of the UCC report less that item, unless there's discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That was a very non-hearty aye. Everybody must feel like I do right now, kind of worn out. Okay, thanks, John. Next on our list is at General Education. I understand there's no report. Faculty Welfare, there's no report, and that sends us down to Academic Quality. Guy?
Yeah, I have a report that's not really a report. We've got two items on our report. The second one's moot. This was filed 2 SECs ago, and the second information that we read, or the decision that we should look at the by-term plan, that's moot given recent developments. And the first one, our recommendation regarding concurrent baccalaureate degrees, what I can share at this time is that we were enthusiastic about this idea. The details, however, we are still sorting out. It's sent back to us, and we have to send it to UCC before it comes here again. So that's still in process. And those are the only two things I have to say.
Thank you, Guy. Last time around, we had an election for at-large representatives to the UCC. Those were appointments that were made by the the Colonnade Committee. Those were appointments that were made by the SEC, and those three folks are Dr. Duncombe, Dr. Lilly, and Dr. Hollis. And if I gave somebody an advanced degree they don't deserve, I apologize. And I am Master McCarroll, not Dr. McCarroll, for all future correspondence. Thanks. So that's just an information item. Old business. Faculty workload policy. This was tabled during the September meeting. I sent out an email directly to the senators regarding the policy. Jennifer, would you call that? You got that up. So my suggestion here would be that I would entertain a motion to approve the policy as revised or as amended.
So moved.
Second, Monroe.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It may have been the longest pending policy of all time. The second item that was tabled at the request of Dr. Dytle is a draft resolution on the by-term proposal. Dr. Dytle, do you want to direct us on?
I'll try to be brief in the spirit of today's meeting. My purpose in bringing this forward is to put the University Senate on record that we expect to play a role should a by-term proposal go forward. I think this is important because there are some fears that this is going to morph from a discussion item to a policy before our very eyes. We've been assured that that will not be the case, which I'm happy about that, but I do think it's best for the Senate to make a statement in that regard.
Guy?
I have a question for Robert and everyone else. Should we differentiate between the word plan and policy in the Senate whereas? Because what we're discussing at the moment is a plan. It's in the abstract. It's not something that suggests a specific change. This came up regarding the removal of the particular Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday schedule with Wednesday off, which is referenced in the, what I'll refer to as the attack plan, the analysis plan by faculty workload, AQ, and BCC. Now we're going to look at this idea and think about it and respond to it, but it's not really a policy proposal in its current form. So I'm assuming that what this you're referring to is that any policy change would be
yes. Yes, if it's simply a case of departments being urged to or encouraged to offer more by-term, that's not a policy. That's just we're trying to make something happen. But if there is policies which, for instance, state minimum number of courses that have to be on a by-term, where it becomes not a choice, to me, that's a policy change.
So you're comfortable keeping that as a plan?
I guess we need a motion or further discussion.
Move to approve.
A second.
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Item number three is the revised field experience policy. This has been a field experience for me. And everybody get ready to jump up and tell me I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that this is something that's undergoing further revision. So my suggestion would be that I would entertain a motion to send this policy back to the UCC, where it is anyhow, and let them do their business and bring it through again. Does that make sense?
So moved.
No.
Okay. Oh, genius strikes at all points.
Beverly Segrist, School of Nursing. Are you talking about the nursing administration?
I'm talking about what's being called in the paperwork as the Revised Field Experience Policy MSN Certificate in Nursing Nurse Administrator.
That's not being further revised. It's just the implementation date needs to be changed.
Ah.
That was a...
That's not, I'm sorry, that's not the way I understand it.
Those are two separate. They're two separate items. I think we pasted from the agenda
just got,
to this
got
agenda.
Overlapped.
You added.
So.
Just put the two of our things together.
Lars doesn't need to go back.
Okay, so what we're talking about is the field experience policy.
Yes, sir.
And we're sending it back to the UCC.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, very good. I'm clear now. Thank you.
You are.
Yeah. Well, we'll get together and it'll all work. Do I have a second on that motion?
Second.
Okay. For John? Very good. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. We're voting on sending back to the UCC the revised field experience policy that was tabled in September. We're good?
Yeah, we're good.
Good. Okay. Okay, we're on to new business.
What was the decision of the chair?
I'm sorry?
Did that motion pass?
It did. I didn't hear any no's. Yes, where's
the
come?
Point of clarification. Is this an existing policy that's being revised? I'm unaware of the field experience policy. Is that a number on it?
It's not. It's a curriculum proposal. It came through. John, when did this hall, this first?
May was when it first started.
It first came through the UCC in May.
Is it through SEC list?
No.
There's some language in there that two parties don't agree on, and we're hoping to make sure that's all resolved.
It's not a university policy.
No. It's a curriculum proposal.
It's a state mandated.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, thank you. Next, under new business, we have to elect some committee reps. I had sent out an email about this. All of these committee appointments are on one ballot for expediency, and it tells you how many you need to pick in each category. But before we do that, Jennifer, would you post that? I had asked the folks who were interested in these committee appointments to submit statements of interest to me. There was one person, Dr. Neely, who could not get me his in time by the time I sent them out to the Senate. So his statement will be up on the board here, and I'd appreciate it if you would read it like you had read all the others, if you even did that, before you make your votes. Thanks.
Anybody else need a ballot?
What about you?
It's on red.
Okay.
Yeah, I know
what I'm
sure.
Yeah. Okay, folks, we're going to move ahead on the agenda and use exit polls to figure out who won. Jennifer will let everybody know, and I'll let everybody know the outcome. Under new business, item number two is an action item. This is the syllabus policy. I'd entertain a motion. This comes with an SEC endorsement. I understand this is state mandated. Is that correct? SACS mandated. Thank you.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second?
Second. Charles Borders.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item number three, the sabbatical leave policy. And this is a KTRS function. So again, it's something that we're being told, not that we're creating ourselves. I'd entertain a motion for approval. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Yes.
Patty?
Okay, it's on now. I actually had not noticed this because when this went through the SEC, we had talked about the changes that the state had mandated, and that was certainly the focal point. But until I saw an email this week about dates that sabbatical applications were due, I didn't realize that this policy contains a change that is not consistent with the faculty handbook in section, is this 3? No, it's 2. No, 3. It's 3B, number 1. And number 1 changes the date that that the department head transmits recommendations to the sabbatical review committee by October 15th. And currently the handbook, faculty handbook, says October 20th. And just to be clear, I have no objection to moving it to the 15th. Fine with me. And I'm on the handbook committee, so if this is before the faculty handbook committee, I'm real good with moving it to the 15th. But I don't know that we should, I don't think we should change a date in this policy until the handbook committee makes that same recommendation. You know, at such point, then you sink it. So my suggestion would be that we not alter the review date at this point, or perhaps better, since the handbook is getting ready to rev up, maybe we table this definitely until the handbook committee can have an opportunity to look at this. And again, it's a non-controversial change, but I think you need to have dates that are synced. Just causes confusion if they're not. I can't make the motion to table definitely, but I would suggest doing that until the handbook committee has a chance to meet. And I don't know if this is before them or not, but we can certainly put it before them.
Do I have a second for a move to table definitely? Yes, Dr. Emplin.
That is not the change that is currently being proposed. The change of the dates was already ratified by this body. Last year, Senate records show that. That was the change from 1.1300 to 1.1301. And the dated policy of January 2, 2012 reflects that. The change before, under consideration right now, does not change those dates. These dates were changed 9 months ago or 10 months ago. In order that, and for a good reason, it's in order that we can get sabbatical applications to the board for its December committee meetings, which previously did not exist, so the board can approve sabbaticals in January, so department heads can know who's in sabbatical when they assign courses the following year. I want to stress again, that change was already accepted by this body and became official university policy early in this calendar year.
How was that change presented? Was it presented as a handbook change or as a policy?
No, but the faculty handbook, page 57, clearly states that any changes to the faculty handbook necessitated by changes to university policy shall be made by June 30th of that year and will be effective July the 1 of the next year, which means they should have been in the faculty handbook in July 1 of 2012. The faculty handbook has not conformed to its own provisions in updating its contents to affect changes in policy that were duly approved by appropriate bodies.
Well, it seems to me by delaying this, it just gives us a chance to bring both in sync since it has no impact
on
the implementation.
The dates were approved in January, Robert.
Well, but you can't have a faculty handbook in conflict with a policy and then expect there to be consistency.
And the faculty,
handbook, in my opinion, trumps policy until it is changed.
Well, the faculty handbook, by its own content, says that it will change every July 1 in accordance with policy changes that are pertinent to its contents, and that didn't happen.
So let's make it happen.
I would love that to happen.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. There is a motion that's been seconded.
Is there any other discussion?
What are we voting on?
Tabling. Tabling, definitely.
Is there a second?
Yes.
We don't want to table it for you.
We don't want to tell you about that.
No, yeah. I didn't take my motion. I suggested someone make a motion to table.
Motion and seconding. Yes. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. We're back to the original proposal with the October 15th date, which may or may not be in conflict with the handbook. Is there anybody want to venture into the waters?
Yeah.
Well, does the senator want to venture into the waters before other people venture in? Yes.
I'll venture into the waters. I do think this body needs to take seriously the faculty handbook as the ultimate guide for our policies. And we need to make sure, and we need to be efficient, we need to make sure the policy changes are put in place in a timely fashion. But we have to be careful, because if we have a policy, this instance I think is fairly trivial.
Yeah.
But if you had a conflicting policy on the policy page and in the handbook, you've got problems if it's an important issue. And so I guess we'll have to do a better job at keeping both caught up, because to me the handbook is the ultimate authority for policies that guide our lives, our professional lives here.
Dr. Mayer?
Yeah. I second that thought wholeheartedly, and would just like to add, again, you know, the machine, you know, you have to make the machine run, and just because the policy says that the handbook has to catch up, for a couple of reasons, the handbook committee did not fire up until late, and then for other reasons, there have been other things that delayed it from getting going. Again, this is a completely non-controversial change. I don't think anybody's going to object to changing it to the 15th. But as Dr. Deitel points out, the handbook is where you go on employment practices. It's where, you know, all of our work life is governed. As a fiduciary of this university, I'm very troubled by the idea that you have policies that are in conflict with faculty handbook, and in what we call in legal history the hierarchy of laws, handbook is the Constitution and the policies are statutes. And if the handbook needs to be synced to the policies, well, the policies have to wait until the handbook is synced. I mean, it's that simple. This is a trivial thing, and I'm actually very glad that we're having this discussion, because it reminds us that we have to make sure these things are synced. And when this went through last year, I didn't notice this, because I don't know that it was actually highlighted that this is something that was in conflict with handbook. Perhaps anything that comes forward next time, like as we've seen everything bolded in yellow, maybe that can be pointed out. But I would still argue that handbook is the point of original jurisdiction. If you want to make a policy change, then have to start through the handbook process, which will be revving up pretty shortly. But the handbook's not ratified in until the Senate ratifies the changes. It runs on academic year. So it doesn't go into effect the second that something passes. It goes into effect for the next academic year. Or else we run into a situation that I don't think anybody would ever want, which is things that can come up and down throughout the year and the rules changing constantly on a dime. I'm sure that department heads and deans and others in administration don't want that kind of moving target. It exposes us. So again, I think this is an excellent cautionary reminder that we need to sync all of these things, and handbook supersedes policy, so we all have to be mindful of that.
Yes.
With all due respect to Drs. Minter and Deitel, we run a similar risk of establishing a very dangerous precedent by permitting policies which are not updated appropriately by the handbook committee to be null and void. We permit tacitly the handbook committee to intentionally, for example, overlook a policy with which a small committee disagrees, but with which the body at large has approved. This is very dangerous, and I urge you all to think about whether or not you want to decide that a policy that was approved and vetted is more important than when it was not necessarily included in the handbook by oversight. And I'm not suggesting that there was any type of intentional oversight here. I'm certain there was not, which is why this makes a very good time to talk
Absolutely.
About this, because we're not going to offend anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be very careful about setting up a precedent like that.
Robert?
I would be very happy to go back to the old days where the Senate as a body approves the faculty handbook after the faculty handbook committee got done with it. That would remove that problem of a small, because I agree, I think there's some troubles about having a very small committee have final say. So that's fine with me.
Well, yes.
Just a point of information, do we know why we're in the middle of October and it hasn't been updated if it was supposed to be done by July 1? I mean, was there some material reason?
I'm not sure that this is a material reason, but I can share with you a little bit of background about the committee. When the committee was formed, the way it was supposed to work was that the outgoing faculty senate chair would chair the committee. The initial chair of the committee was Paul Markham. It would have been Kelly Madol who would chair that committee, but since she's no longer a faculty member, she's now an assistant dean, I think, vice president, something. She's an administrator. She could not take that chair. Just to so everyone's clear, that at least on my end, I've not been dawdling trying to move this committee forward. Multiple emails and attempted phone calls to folks, and it was finally about, I would guess, mid-September when Paul Markham agreed to continue on as chair. We sought some committee members, and I thought things were moving forward, but it has clearly been a late start. And I know a lot of folks are anxious about that. I just heard about anxious moments prior to this meeting. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I think that's kind of a little bit of history. The majority of you clearly don't want to table this, so would someone in that majority like to make a motion?
We already have a motion.
Yeah.
We have a motion to approve in a second? Okay,
yes.
All those in favor?
I'm sorry. May I have one point of clarification?
Yes.
Okay. It's actually not correct that the small body approves something and it just becomes law. As revised, and this is in the faculty handbook, as revised 2 years ago, the handbook again, the changes were designed to deal with the fact that there is a desire to have the policy statements up and that there are some moving targets. And prior to that, the handbook committee met when convened by the provost, and the last revision took 4 years, in part because it was a really interesting, messy experiment in democracy. We had forum after forum. For 3 years, we had forums, and people would have all kinds of changes they wanted to see. We took it through faculty welfare committee. It got kicked back several times because people saw things that they didn't like. And democracy and ratification of a governing document can be an extremely messy process. So it took 4 years because it was the people's will that it was not ready to go, and then changes needed to be made. As we have a new system for a revising handbook, the committee is in perpetual session. Every college has a representative. The immediate past chair of the Senate chairs the body, and again, for reasons that our chair explained, this hasn't moved as quickly as everybody wanted. But annually, there is a final product, and the year's revisions have to be ratified by the University Senate. It has to go through faculty welfare, have them take a look at it, goes to the Senate floor for ratification, and as written, it runs on academic year. And again, for those of you, if you're planning your careers, again, this is a fantastic conversation because it's something that doesn't change people's career trajectories. But if we were talking about tenure and promotion guidelines, then that sure would. So again, you want something that runs on academic year, that's not a perpetual moving target. If the 18th edition is the 18th edition, it's the 18th edition for that academic year. And if it changes, then you've got the 19th edition. But everybody knows what the rules are, when they move, and that's consistent with fair employment practices and how appropriate hierarchy should work. That way everybody can look something up, because when you want to look something up, what's the first thing you say? What does faculty handbook say? You look for the deadline, you see if you're going to meet the deadline, you see if there are any other standards to meet. So it's not a small group of people. I want to make that very clear. We are the ultimate authority as the University Senate. And it goes to the Board of Regents. It went as an information item last time. There's a proposal under review that it goes to the board as an action item, which I think is a good idea because all constitutions need to be ratified by highest authority. So I think that's a good thing. That's how the system works, and we are where the buck stops.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion from senators? All those in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Next item is the Colonnade Implementation Committee proposal for COM 145. Dr. Dytle?
The Colonnade Implementation Committee has started its work. We are reviewing courses in the foundation category for this semester. That department was first off the block with their revision of, or their proposal for COM 145. This is an existing course, so it did not have to go through UCC. There are no major revisions. The committee reviewed it to make sure that the new learning outcomes match the learning outcomes of the Colonnade plan, which it does. The committee approved it at its September 27th meeting to send forward to the Senate, so I move approval.
Have a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Yes.
This is really more a question for the communication department. For years, we've had business professional speaking, COM 161, which was also part of the general ed. Are they planning to bring through 161 in the future?
We are, as in discussion with Larry Snyder, I believe, going to revise 161 before we put it through, and it will probably become a subcomponent of 145 for business students. But we are not working on that. So as of now, it's not going through as 161, but we are in discussions about revising it because right now it doesn't meet, I think, all of those new learning objectives. Is that correct, Bruce? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Thank you. Any more discussion? I'm sorry? Yes.
Walensky. I'm just wondering, does this sort of serve as a model for the rest of us who are in the future going to have to submit these sorts of information, you know, these colonnade proposals? Yeah.
The series of questions we ask of these departments are linked to the foundation category. There's a letter that's about to go out to department heads about the exploration. Let me explain. The committee has divided up its work. This semester, we're going to look at foundation courses. Next semester, we'll be looking at exploration courses, which is the next category. And then next year, the committee will devote its time to the connection courses. There will be a letter that goes out next week to department heads about exploration courses with a set of guidelines, a set of questions that we're going to ask departments to answer about any course they propose to be in the explorations. And some of the same information will be requested as on the foundations. One possible difference is that all the foundation courses were courses that already existed. Whereas there may be departments that want to create new courses for exploration, and that will obviously be a more involved process because that's go through UCC as well as the committee.
Any other discussion? Yes.
So were people asked to submit proposals to the colony?
I sent an email to faculty all. I think I didn't have the capability of sending it just to department heads, so I sent it to faculty all. And the store's open. If the department wants to begin thinking about it, we ask that you wait on connection courses. We're not going to deal with those. But if you're thinking about a foundation course equivalent or a exploration course, particularly if you're thinking about creating a new one, please contact me as soon as possible.
Okay, this is a motion to approve COM 145. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The final item is simply for information. You can read the report on the website, but it's basically how the SEC standing committees are going to go about reviewing the bi-term proposal. So if you have time, please take a minute to look at that. If you have any thoughts, suggestions, you can direct those to me or you can direct those to either of the three standing committees, UCC, faculty welfare, or academic quality. Is there any other business before the Senate? Entertain a motion to adjourn?
No.
Seconds? Bye. Goodbye. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm out.
Okay, thank you. Section 14.
I think you're right. I think I just...
What happened on the agenda, I think, is they're not in the same order as the...
Well, then you just have to... But you have to wait on the Constitution. It is an unfortunate situation.
And you're also on a permanent revision form instead of a policy revision form, which... and these don't have titles on them, so titles were made up for your agenda. So there were a lot of things that came into play. But this, the first proposal,
and it's not part of the Constitution,
to be properly
read. Are you in graduate counsel?
The one that was pulled from UCC.
But it still has to be. But it still has to be certified and enrolled.
I think I was explaining to him the first one listed. Says admission.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. It's my first proposal. Thank you, Janet.
Yeah, you won.
That is what, this one then? The first one?
Right. It's the one that has number 8.
2 o'clock hours. That's the one that was tabled.
It's been tabled, yeah.
And as many committees. Well, actually, our same statement, but it was tabled at UCC. This is the one that was tabled again. It's the same policy, just written here.
So when this comes back
to the
Senate,
for whatever reason, and I'm not throwing anybody under the bus,
the
committee
way I understand
did not rev up
the language,
That's my concern.
Does that affect graduate students as well? So it has to be approved by both UCC and Grad
Council.
And the language would be the same in both. Because the provost won't approve it without both committees being on the same thing.
But any time you create something new, which I
have not
created, Well, I don't know if you've taken that up with appropriate parties. We both know who we're talking about.
So yet again,
it's been a